The story of Esther usually focuses on the Judean beauty that became queen and ultimately saved her people from destruction. But there was more than one star, I think, in the biblical narrative. During the Babylonian captivity of Judah, a champion rose up to courageously defend the people of God. Mordecai was an intelligent man with a heart of gold. He was a true servant, and he also loved God, and he loved his people more than he loved his own life. We see that Esther was taken with other fair young virgins to the king's palace to replace Queen Vashti. And it likely came as no surprise to Mordecai when Esther was selected to become the queen. He knew that God was present and moving in the situation for divine purpose, so he advised Esther to keep quiet about her Jewish origins. Mordecai held an office in the king's court. And after Esther was chosen as queen, he exposed a plot to assassinate the king. The conspirators were hanged, and Queen Esther saw to it that Mordecai's actions were recorded in the king's history book, although no reward was immediately offered. There was evil brewing in the shadows of the king's court. Haman had been appointed to the highest position in the kingdom, but Mordecai, you see, refused to bow down to Haman. Haman became so infuriated that he devised a plan to destroy not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews in the empire. Not knowing of Esther's Jewish origin, the king gave Haman the authority to carry out that plan. When Mordecai learned of the plan, he sat himself before the king's gate. He wore sackcloth and ashes, and he wailed loudly. His reaction caught Esther's attention, and through a messenger, she was notified of Haman's conspiracy, and together they agreed that Esther should take this opportunity to reveal the plot to the king. Well, one night the king could not sleep, and he asked for the history books to be brought in. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, who shall remain nameless, if reading a history book couldn't put a fellow to sleep, then what if nothing could? Well, of course, hurts my feelings a little bit, since I was a history teacher. I used to be a history teacher. And I guess that I must have got involved in two occupations that have the tendency to put people to sleep, because it seems like that the preaching of the gospel has that effect on a lot of people also. Well, as they're reading here, they discovered Mordecai's exposure of the assassination attempt. And they discover that he had never been honored. Well, the next morning, the king asked Haman. He says, "Haman, what should be done for a man whom the king delights to honor?" Well, you can imagine Haman thinks, oh, the king is wanting to honor me. So he comes up with this plan. He says, "Well, here's what you should do. You should have the man with a robe, give him a robe of the king, have a royal crest placed on his head, and be paraded through the city on one of the king's horses, escorted by one of the king's top men, proclaiming, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Well, the king said, "Haman, that's a great idea. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there and do that to that man, Mordecai." Now, you talk about somebody's countenance falling. You talk about a smile being wiped off somebody's face. But I'll tell you, old Haman had that smile wiped right off his face. Now, he, of course, obeyed the king, but he went home humiliated that night. Well, that night at the banquet that Queen Esther had arranged, the king asked Esther what her special request was. And, oh, he loved her, because he offered and he said, "Esther, I'll give you up half of my kingdom, whatever you want." Well, Esther, of course, then revealed the wicked plan to exterminate her people and expose Haman as the perpetrator. Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And Esther revealed to the king Mordecai's relationship to her, and the king promoted him to Haman's position, and he gave him all of Haman's property. Mordecai was a man of commitment. He was a man of courage. He was a man who walked in wisdom and sensitivity toward God. Mordecai stood up to his adversaries. He risked his own life for the lives of his people. And he earned a name and he earned a reputation worthy of respect among God's people for all time. Well, I believe that we can see some similarities between Mordecai and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe there are some sacred shadows to be found therein. Well, first of all, we see that they both exhibited kindness. Mordecai is introduced to us, and immediately we see the kindness of this man, because he had brought up Esther, his orphan cousin, as his own daughter. And their relationship is a loving one, because when she is taken to be presented to the king, Mordecai comes daily, as close as he is allowed to do, to learn of the welfare of Esther. As we read the Gospels, we see our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We see him marked by wonderful and great compassion. We see him marked by kindness. He met whatever need he encountered. He touched lepers. He held children. He allowed a known sinner to wash his feet with her tears. He took time to touch the heart and the conscience of a Samaritan woman. He looked out for his mother's needs, even as he hung upon the cross. And in every way, he showed love to the poor and to the needy. Well, they also both exhibited faithfulness. In Esther 2, verses 21 to 23, we see Mordecai's faithfulness with respect to the king. Now, never mind that the king was a Persian monarch. Never mind that he was an immoral character. Mordecai recognized him that he was a king. And he was a king that God had put on the throne. And I'll tell you what, people, that's a lesson that I think many of us need to learn too. From what I read and from what I hear many people saying about our ruling dignitaries. Romans 13, verse 1, listen now to what it says. Pay attention. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, wait a minute, preacher, read that to me just one more time. It says, the powers that be are ordained of who? They are ordained of God. And then we read in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When Mordecai became aware that the king was in danger of being assassinated, he informed him to Queen Esther. And the matter was investigated, and justice was executed on the guilty. Mordecai's loyal service to the king was duly noted, but as I said, it was not rewarded. Well, our blessed Lord also was exemplary in his relationship to the ruling authorities. When accused of perverting and stirring up the nation and forbidding to pay taxes, he was found to be without fault by Pilate and also by Herod. He submitted himself to injustices done to him, neither reviling nor threatening in return, but committing himself to him who judges righteously, 1 Peter 2, verse 23. God, of course, has recorded his faithfulness. God has recorded it for us in wonderful detail. Though the enemies of God and his people are in positions of power today, one day, people, one day, listen, the Son of God will come in his power, and he will certainly claim his own. Well, we also see that they both exhibited sympathy. The threatened destruction of the Jewish people throughout the Persian Empire was a direct consequence of Mordecai's acting in accord with the mind of God in refusing to bow down to Haman. Mordecai's faithfulness to God brought Haman's hatred upon him. And when the decree to exterminate the Jews was sent out, it brought great distress to them. We see Mordecai in clothes and sackcloth and ashes, weeping bitterly, sharing his distress. And of our Lord, we also read this, listen, in all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he bare them. And he carried them all the days of old. Isaiah 63, verse 9. We see him weeping over Jerusalem in the Gospels, knowing what the tremendous destruction would be that was going to befall his people. And still today, oh yes, thanks, still today, he from the glory of heaven, he keenly feels all that is done for his own in the man in man's hatred for him. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In these extremely unfavorable circumstances, Mordecai encouraged and counseled Esther to do that which ultimately brought deliverance to the Jews. He fasted for Esther, and I'm sure that he also prayed for her. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does even more. He is our great high priest. He is our great high priest who strengthens us and grants us mercy and grace to help us in the time of need. The Apostle Paul spoke of such grace in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. We look to Jesus today. We look to Jesus as we run life's race. For he has completed the race himself. And we have his word. We have his word to guide us. And that word promises us wisdom if we ask for it in faith. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. What a Savior we have today. Well, they both suffered persecution. In his great hatred against Mordecai, Haman had a gallows built. And his plan was to hang Mordecai on that gallows. Well, in his marvelous way, God frustrated Haman's plans. Through Esther's courage and strategy and God's marvelous way of working little details for good, Haman's scheme was defeated and Mordecai and the Jews were delivered from destruction. But our Lord did not escape death arranged for him by wicked man. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. That cup would not pass from him if God was going to save us on a righteous basis. Matthew 26, verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt. Well, they both received honor. Mordecai was brought to great honor and power. Mordecai became the chief minister and entrusted with the king's signet ring. And then he was able to effectively overcome the decree that Haman had issued against the Jews, turning it against his enemies instead. While our Lord has been raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand in heaven, the public display of his glory is still to come. His coming for his own is a secret that only God the Father knows. But when he returns, traveling in the greatness of his strength, Isaiah 63, verse 1, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 7. And Psalm 110 tells us that that day that God will make his enemies his footstool and his people will be able to rejoice. They both were exalted. The last chapter of Esther shows us Mordecai's greatness after the excitement was past. We see he is given a position of greatness by the king. He rules wisely and he rules well, seeking the good of his country and seeking the good of his people and peace to his countrymen. He not only is honored by the king, but he is great among the Jews, accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. Esther 10, verse 3. And likewise, has not our blessed Savior proved himself worthy of honor? Every honor that God can bestow. Now listen and pay attention. Philippians 2 verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Long ago, Mordecai spoke those immortal words to Esther. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, I believe that those very words could have very well been spoken about Mordecai himself. And tonight, those words can be spoken also about you and me. In a few hours, we'll be ushering in a new year. We will close the book on 2015 with the joys and the happiness that it brought, with the tears and the sorrow and the disappointment that it brought. And we'll be bringing in 2016, with hopes of happiness and full of dreams. Well, tonight I urge you to stand up and take your place in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Great things may be in store. Follow the example of Mordecai and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And who knows? Who knows whether you and you and you and you are to come to the kingdom for such a time as this.